Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. This is WLS AM 890. Sox and Giants coming up in about an hour here on this very station. It'll be James Shields and Jeff Samardzija making the starts. It's a pretty chill music bed here. I'm all relaxed on this Saturday afternoon. Our producer's Don Kleppen. He picks the tunes. We just talk baseball. We talked baseball with Kevin Smith, White Sox catcher, just about an hour and a half ago or so. Really focusing on pitching today. What with the news the White Sox had yesterday with Carlos Rodon. He will be done for the season, shut down with left shoulder tightness, an MRI. Kind of showed, Carlos said, the same thing that it showed at some point during the beginning of the season when he started the year on the disabled list and was shut down for a little while. Certainly not great news, but for Carlos, who made 12 starts this year, there were some pretty stellar outings. So hopefully that's something you can build on. That's something he can build on. After he fixes the issue and gets healthy during this offseason, he'll be done for the year pitching. Meanwhile, there are two real bright young stars in this White Sox rotation in Lucas Giolito and Reynaldo Lopez. And the White Sox are certainly searching or perhaps have more in the system. Carson Fulmer is going to get a go on Sunday, and Michael Kopech was here just a couple of days ago. We're going to hear from Michael in just a few minutes. But I wanted to talk with the guy who backstops or has backstopped Reynaldo and Lucas, and I got a chance to talk with Kevin Smith a bit this afternoon in the White Sox clubhouse, and I kind of wanted to see from him what the next steps are. How do you push these guys forward? How do you make sure these last couple of starts are starts that – help guys learn lessons, that help guys move forward. And I will bring that to you here on White Sox Weekly.
A couple of minutes here with Kevin Smith before the White Sox go take on the Giants today. You've caught both Lucas and Reynaldo, both in the minors and the majors here. Coop talks a lot about making sure that fastball is the best pitch you've got, you know, making sure that you spot it right. Do you see similarities between those two guys, given they've come over from a different system and have now kind of worked through the White Sox the way they have?
Yeah, for sure. I think what they've done a great job this year is throwing their off speed when they need to. Being able to throw for strikes and putaways. I think Lopey's more of a guy where we're going to use that heater a lot to get ahead of guys.
Sure.
And then, because a big thing I think with him is he slows down a lot when he tries too hard to throw it for a strike.
Okay.
And it can kind of throw him off a little bit. I want him to keep his same fastball mechanics. So that's one thing that I think we're going to keep striving for, keep working for, is being able to get that first pitch curve over for a strike, maybe mix in a changeup here or there. And he's developing a little slider, which I love right now. We threw it a couple times in some spots that I was happy with. And, I mean, last outing, we probably should have got him into the seventh or the eighth. But obviously, unfortunate things happened. As for where his development is, it's fun to watch. It's fun to catch. And as for Lucas, I mean, it's funny. I look back to last night's outing, and even though he wasn't as sharp, you could say, we still should have got him into the seventh or eighth inning. And, you know, with what both of those guys have been doing well is throwing their changeups and fastball counts. You'll be seeing with Lucas a bunch of times. He's been very successful with that. I know he got burned a little bit with Sandoval yesterday, but those are just things that we need to keep learning. And, I mean, like Lucas yesterday, he was a little up with his changeup a couple times. I just said, hey, don't be afraid to spike it. You know, these are all things that working together, we start figuring out maybe what's his, what are his key points, what are his key words whenever we need that pitch in a big situation. They're both doing a phenomenal job, I think, with handling what's kind of put on their plate right now. The expectations, I think they're meeting them with leaps and bounds right now, and it's just exciting to move forward. So,
how much do you guys talk about pitch mix as something that kind of evolves from start to start? You know, sometimes you don't have a changeup.
Right.
Sometimes, like you said, Ronaldo's got that slider coming around.
Right,
some.
For sure. I think it kind of varies to kind of what I see back there each day. If that changeup's nasty, what was it, two outings ago with Gio?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to go to that thing every other pitch, it feels like. I know we're not, but you just know you have that in the back of your back pocket. But, I mean, what's funny with these guys is they have such dominating stuff, I think. that whenever you read scouting reports and it says maybe don't throw a changeup to this guy, it's like, well, you haven't seen Ronaldo's changeup. So there's never that moment of what are we going to throw more of or throw less. We're going to stick with their strengths. Maybe attack some of the hitters' weaknesses if we can. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what these guys do so well is control their strengths, control what they can do, and just stay positive. That's the biggest thing, I think, for these guys is to just keep working in the right direction. Don't get down if something doesn't happen, you know, as planned. And just kind of, I mean, what I always preach is be a great teammate, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I make an error, I want him to look me in the face, say, I got you another one coming. You know what I mean? It's stuff like that, yeah. that's going to build teams. It's going to build chemistry. It's just going to build an overall better atmosphere out on the field. So
you and the pitcher and mm-hmm. Omar, too, you work like a tandem out there.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
It's really a job that you do together.
No doubt.
You had, you know, a box to check, mm-hmm. like, yeah, Ronaldo, we got that done
got
by
that
the end
done
of this
that.
Year.
Right.
Or Lucas done by the end of the year.
For sure.
What would that box look like? Is it the same for both those guys, or is it different a little bit?
Man, that's a good question. I think Gio and Lopez both have checked the box of my stuff plays up here.
Sure.
So, not knowing that, now it's on to, you know, how are we going to pitch this guy? Why are we pitching this guy this way? Why are we pitching around this guy because of who's on deck? What are the guys on base doing? You know, holding runners, mm-hmm. you know, just managing games. Not letting emotions get to you if maybe something doesn't happen, you know, stay focused. I mean, I love watching guys like, I mean, those guys should be learning stuff from guys like Kluber, from these top name guys. I mean, watch, we hit two home runs off that guy mm-hmm. and he didn't break an emotion. I was like, that is odd. Like he wasn't, he was like, I'm the best. I'm going to keep going. And what did he carved after that?
It was,
I mean, it's just, it's fun to watch, but also at the same time, you can learn so much from those guys.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, however many starts they had left here, I mean, just keep going with what you're doing. You know your stuff's there. It's just a matter of having that presence on the mound, that X factor of knowing that your stuff's going to play up here and almost take it to the next level of the mental side of things. You know, what are we doing? Maybe lock in on the scouting reports a little more.
Yeah.
So you can work with me a little more. Like, I want their full trust, but say I have a moment where maybe I'm a little off. They can help me with that and say, no, I think this is the great pitch. And it's stuff like that where we're going to progress and get better at each start and obviously going into next year and just kind of learning the game. Ricky always talks about be a student into the game, you know, watch the game. You can learn a lot from just sitting on the bench. And, I mean, I've learned that the hard way coming up through the minors by coaches, you know, getting on you about not watching the game or, you know, dozing off. But if you actually pay attention, you can learn a lot, especially up here with a lot of these veteran guys we're facing and seeing how they handle their business and what they do or why they did it. It becomes a lot more interesting whenever you dig into it a little deeper. So, yeah, I think that's where those guys need to go next and just kind of keep tapping into the next levels. And, I mean, that's just what's going to make us, I think, bond better as a squad. So.
Awesome. Kevin, really appreciate it, man.
No doubt, man.
Thanks
you
a lot.
It. Yep, for sure, bro.
Enjoy the last 3 weeks, dude.
Thank you, man.
That is White Sox catcher Kevin Smith, a man who has worked really well with Ronaldo Lopez and with Lucas Giolito. You can commemorate the Hall of Fame career of White Sox star outfielder Tim Raines by purchasing a limited edition Tim Raines Hall of Fame dual bobblehead. This unique keepsake includes action shots of Tim's likeness as a White Sox and Expos player. Rock bobbleheads are just $40 each and available while supplies last. Visit whitesox.com/rockbobble to get yours today. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, one of the top prospects in all of baseball, Michael Kopech, is going to hang out with us here on White Sox Weekly. So stay right here. You got WLS AM 890. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. We'll start the pregame show at 5:35. White Sox fans, Michael Kopech coming up in just a couple of seconds. Sox fans, you can celebrate Hispanic Heritage Night on September 22nd, presented by Modelo Especial. There will be Latin music and dancing, special activities for kids, an on-field parade, and a post-game fireworks show. Modelo Especial, good guys wear black and drink gold. Tickets start as low as $10. To purchase, visit whitesox.com/NHH.
Chance to sit down with White Sox pitcher Michael Kopech, a man who's at the ballpark you hope to work at for a very long time and very soon, I think. Michael, good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you, man. Glad to be here.
So let's talk a little bit about your season in both AA and AAA. I think, you know, in talking with the media just a couple of minutes ago here in the dugout, your eyes kind of lit up a little bit when you mentioned that you worked a full innings load, that you had a full season. That seemed to be a really big, not only point of pride, but a very big goal for you coming into this year. Why is that, and how much of a sense of accomplishment do you feel for that?
I feel awesome about it. And to me, I think it was such a big goal because it wasn't only a goal for me. It felt like a group goal. It felt like an organization goal. Everybody wanted to see me get that full innings load, and I finally got it. And you know, I finished healthy. I didn't finish with much fatigue. And so just the fact that I was able to reach that milestone and get ready for next year was, I think, coming from the organization, a very important part, and for me, a very important part, considering I threw more this year than I did the last two seasons combined.
It almost feels like you could set, I mean, let's not set the results aside, because you had a hell of a season, but if you did set them aside, that's a pretty noble goal, especially from where you're at and in your development track as it is right now.
Right, and I think, you know, I like I said, I just think that really set me up for whatever's to come next year, and the fact that I was able to go out there and, you know, at the most take 7 days between starts, I think that was great for me. Just kind of getting a routine, work the season a little bit, and go the whole year without fatigue. That was, I couldn't be more grateful for that.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, working through AA. You were named the AA Pitcher of the Year. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
It's an honor in and of itself. But I know, and you know, that when you're pitching that well down there in AA, you're looking at AAA as a next step.
Yeah.
How do you keep yourself focused? How do your teammates, how do your coaches help keep you focused when you know that there's more out there to go get?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would talk to it with other guys in our staff down there, and we all kind of, we're going through the same thing. We're thinking about a promotion. We're thinking about, you know, the next start, and you're trying to balance out what's most important to focus on at the time. And it almost got to the point where I had to forget about being promoted at all. I had to think that, you know, this is where I'm going to finish the year. This is what I'm going to do. All I'm going to do is go out there and compete my best my next start. And so when I got into that mindset and was able to just go start by start, I really think that was what kind of locked me in for the rest of the year. And it, you know, ended up getting a promotion out of it anyway. So I think that was really what helped. And talking to those guys that have been down there and are trying to go through the same thing, they were kind of in the same mindset.
Kind of teaches that once you push away the big stuff, the small stuff comes into focus.
Yeah.
The big stuff happens on its own.
Right. Yeah, you gotta set your sights on something very specific. And when your goal is very broad, it's hard to do that. So, you know, like I said, once I was able to focus start by start, I think it just kind of locked me in that much more.
Talking about specific starts, you know, down in the minors, I know a lot of our fans, you know, are very interested in minor league baseball right now with you and Eloy and the rest of the crop the White Sox have. But as we try and teach them, and this is something we've tried to do on the show, how do we watch minor league baseball? What should we look for? Do you go into starts at times with, like, a task at hand, like, hey, Michael, let's throw 35 changeups tonight, or let's make sure that we, you know, put that slider on the outer half? And how do you go ahead and adjust once maybe you don't have that slider tonight?
Yeah.
Or maybe that fastball is just not going into lefties the way you want it to.
Yeah.
And you got to kind of change things that night.
You know, it may not always be that specific, but you're right for the most part. That's how pretty much those games go. I know for me, the last couple months of the year, I was, you know, working on getting ahead early in counts and really just trying to, you know, create an out earlier than later. And for me, that would be, you know, throwing a first pitch strike. And so my first pitch fastball might be 94, 95, and then I'll throw an 0-2 fastball, 98, 99, 100, whatever the case may be. And so you would notice a difference in how I was pitching and when I would try to use an out pitch, when I would rear back a little bit. And, you know, it's ironic you say that. I lost my slider in my last couple starts. I lost the feel for it, rather.
Sure.
And so I would try to, you know, mix my pitches a little better to where I was able to still compete in the game and get guys with a different pitch. And, you know, that's kind of what minor leagues is about, is development. But once you get to AAA, you're getting a little bit of development and you're getting a lot of guys that already have a cup of coffee. So it's fun to kind of get a mix there.
You sound like you've kind of taken a page out of the Don Cooper conversation, our every pregame show that we do here on the station. He talks about getting outs early. He talks about getting that first pitch strike over. How much of his philosophy and his, you know, because I saw you and Coop work a lot in spring training.
Yeah.
He loved working with you. How much do you hear from him or just kind of hear his lessons throughout a minor league season?
Yeah, you know, I mean, unfortunately this season we didn't have a chance to, you know, talk one-on-one a lot, but it'd be ironic how often his talks came into effect during season. There would be, you know, it'd be mid-June and he would talk about painting a low and away fastball after you, you know, maybe you went hard and in or hard up and in. And then you apply that directly to a start on June 14th that you talked about in February. So
that's right.
Oftentimes, Michael, teammates can apply as much pressure as anybody else. We're sitting here and Avi Garcia and Yelmer Sanchez have joined us. Gentlemen, have you faced this guy in spring training yet? Have you had to swing against him?
He got a good English, my friend.
That's at least the fifth time Yelmer has just kind of stood over an interview like this. I mean, you gotta enjoy the fact that these guys in major league uniforms are ready for you to be here, and it kind of feels like you're ready for this too.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I've had a chance, you know, in big league camp to play alongside a lot of these guys, and if not in big league camp, I had a chance to play with a lot of these guys in you know, Birmingham, Charlotte, whatever the case may be, and seeing them here and kind of everything that's kind of meshing together this year in the clubhouse. It's a lot of fun to watch. I'm excited to see it continue to do so next year.
All right, so take me to the end of the Double-A season for you. You're right there toward it. You know, a promotion has just come. How'd you get the news you were going up to Triple-A? And what was your, you know, because each promotion, I mean, that's still a task. It's an assignment, right? And it's a job to get done. I think it was three starts at Triple-A. What was different about that level from Double-A? And I know you said you lost the slider a little bit some or the feel for it some. How did you go ahead and handle that at a new and higher and more difficult level?
Yeah, I mean, in Birmingham, I'd gotten into a rhythm and a groove almost, as you can say, to where I just felt like I was almost unhittable. And it wasn't anything special I was doing. I wasn't doing anything different. I was just throwing more strikes. And I realized that, I mean, as simple as it sounds, filling up a zone is going to put the pressure on the hitter versus the pitcher. And when I was able to do that, it just felt like I was in control of the whole game.
What does that feel like?
I don't really know how to
put
it.
No, please, describe it. Describe it to a man who was a terrible high school pitcher. Please tell me, what does it feel like to be in control like that?
I'll say it feels relieving because the whole year you're out there, you're competing, and trying to figure out what it is to click for everything to feel right.
Right.
And once you find that one thing that made everything feel the way you wanted it to, you feel almost relieved and not necessarily excited or dominant or cocky or anything like that. You feel like you just did what you've been working on your whole life. And that's not even to feel a sense of accomplishment in AAA, Major Leagues, whatever the case may be. That's just AA baseball. But I can't imagine how it'd feel to do that here.
I feel like that's got to be a much better way to go up there than when I did, when it was terror. It was the only emotion I think I remember feeling when I was out there. It was just terror. Well, congratulations one hell of a season.
Thank you.
It'll be AAA, so the sights are there. The off season for you. Shut it down for just a little bit, get right back up, pitch a little. What is your typical off season kind of plan?
Yeah, I'm gonna take a couple weeks off, kind of relax for a little bit, let the body recover.
Sure.
And then, you know, towards the end of this month, I'm going to jump in there and hit the weight room like I usually do. I probably won't pick up a ball again after tonight, throwing out the first pitch until December. So I'm going to wait a little while to start the whole throwing program, but I'm going to get in the weight room here fairly soon after I take a little bit of rest.
All right, you deserve it. Thanks, Michael. Thank you. Really appreciate sitting down.
Appreciate it.
That's Michael Kopech, one of the White Sox top prospects. Interesting to hear him talk about just having that kind of command over a ball game. Fairly interesting stuff. We're going to hit the news at 5 when we come back. Scott Merkin, MLB.com, is scheduled to join us. We got to give some congratulations out to the Kannapolis Intimidators. We'll tell you why in case you missed it. Keep it right here. You've got White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Surratt Marciano, 10 a.m. to noon weekdays on WLS AM 890. Chicago's news, talk, evolved.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. Going to start the pregame show at 5:35. White Sox and Giants coming up here at Guaranteed Rate Field. I'm Connor McKnight, and with me is Scott Merkin of MLB.com. Scott, thanks as always for joining us on
the
show. Really appreciate it.
Let's talk a little bit about Carlos Rodon, obviously. It's the big news here at the ballpark and something we found out yesterday. Obviously, you guys talked with Carlos yesterday after the ball game. He seemed first and foremost concerned that the rehab happens, that he fixes himself from the injury and then moves forward. But what is kind of the long term from Carlos as you understand it now?
I don't think he knows the exact long term yet. He's being reevaluated Monday from what he told us. We were told by the team, you know, next week, and he specified Monday, so he won't be in Kansas City with the team.
Sure.
And then from there, they see what, you know, what goes depending on the reevaluation there. I mean, obviously something has to change somewhere, right? Because he had this issue, which kept him out till June 28th, so basically he missed the first 3 months of the season.
Right.
And now it's popped back up before his start on Thursday, I guess it was, right? So, I mean, there's got to be some sort of thing they have to find. And, you know, Ricky basically said last night when we asked him post-game, Ricky Renteria, that they can't really set the plan out until they know exactly what they're dealing with. All they know is the inflammation is there again. And as Carlos said, it's an MRI that looked an awful lot like the one he had at the end of spring training when this popped up then. They haven't used the, you know, bicep bursitis as a description this time. It sounds like it's more in the shoulder. Hmm. So I guess we'll find out more as next week progresses.
Where do you see the season Carlos did have? You know, 12 starts, you mentioned him missing 3 months of the season. We saw him in spring and only a little bit. Is this a year that has anything you can take from it if you're Carlos, or is that just really up to him?
I think it's interesting. Like he said, you know, it's kind of like all his years he's had here. He had some stretches of absolute dominance.
Yeah.
And then some stretches where he wasn't quite as good. And people have to remember, he's a young guy. It's not like this guy's in his 10th season and he's
right.
made, you know, 200 starts. Well, it'd be more than that if you're 10 seasons, right? 300 starts would be what you're hoping for. 200 would be a little low. So, you know, he's got time. He's got. They just got to figure out what caused this issue this year, which left him, you know, with, I think, 12 starts overall.
12 starts,
something
yeah.
like that.
Almost 70 innings.
Yeah, so, and you know, he had 75 strikeouts and that, and was great his last, since that Cubs start.
Yeah.
Even that Cubs start, he struck out 11 in four innings, just got hit a little bit, gave up some long home run to Contreras and some base runners, but it's there. You know, it's there. He's people don't talk about him as much because he's, quote-unquote, in italics, the veteran,
yeah.
compared to Giolito and Lopez and Alec Hansen and everyone else who's going to be coming in, Michael Kopech, of course. But, I mean, you know, it's there to be a top-of-the-rotation type of guy. They just got to get him healthy and got to get it consistent. And I think the health part comes first, and the consistency will just come as he develops as a pitcher.
It's just tough to see, you know, as we shape out this rotation, right, and go ahead and put in, I think the rotation for next season is a really fascinating topic. I've been thinking about it a lot over the last couple of weeks. You know, you automatically put Rodon in there, and it seems like Giolito and Lopez are done. They're in the
right.
rotation, and James Shields fits in there too. What if Carlos isn't quite ready to roll yet, or what if the abundance of caution kind of bleeds over into spring and forward? What does that leave the White Sox with option-wise?
Well, you know, I talked to Rick Hahn recently for a magazine story I was doing, and he mentioned about how, you know, I think people think this is going to be a really quiet offseason because they made so many moves in the talent talent accumulation portion
yes.
of the rebuild. Say that 10 times fast. But he made it seem like, you know, if the market lends itself and there's something to be done free agent-wise in the offseason, that could be a possibility. So I think you probably, even if Rodon is ready to go, and I was talking about this with other reporters here today, you probably need a couple veterans. You need a couple in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And you probably need a couple in the rotation because, you know, I don't think Giolito and Lopez, and if for sure Kopech, because I don't think he'll, you know, begin the year with the team, they're not going to go to 200 innings next year from where
right.
they're at. So you're
right.
going to need veterans to mix in there too, besides a guy who would fill out the rotation. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach this and what sort of deals they're looking for. Is it a 1 year thing? Is it a guy that they like and maybe, you know, think can carry over into the high point of this rebuild, the finality of the rebuild? And it'd be interesting to see what the market shows.
Well, and two, you know, the White Sox had recouped so much value in Anthony Swarzak and Tommy Canley,
right.
all things considered, you know, from where they were just 12 months ago to where they were traded at. You would imagine that you've got space roster-wise to take a couple of shots at players like that
right.
and see what happens. And even if you don't get the performance of a Tommy Canley, perhaps you get a manageable reliever that stays somewhere in that margin and either, like you said, is here or can be moved.
Well, it's kind of like their viewpoint of young players before they went to the rebuild. The young players were kind of either to help you in the major league level
yeah.
or to help you by trading for someone who could help you in the major league level. And I think that's what these veterans are now. Either a guy you could, as I point out, you could, you know, work in short term or long term, or a guy where you can move and kind of win the trade. And I think that's one of the things that happens in rebuilds. I mean, I know Sox fans don't like to hear about the other side of town, but you know, they won a couple trades in that rebuild. You know, getting Kyle Hendricks in the Dempster deal, getting Jake Arrieta in the Scott Feldman deal, and Pedro Strop for the matter. Not, you know, not that the guys they traded were, they were serviceable, very solid veterans, but they got guys who are huge pieces, and that's one of the things. And I'm sure there's examples in Houston and Kansas City too. It's just those two came to mind, and that's just one of the things. That's kind of the next stage. So yeah, they could help as a short term or maybe a little bit, you know, middle level fix. Or it could help where they start off great and you move them for more players in the middle of the season.
Scott Merkin, MLB.com, join us here for another minute or two on White Sox Weekly. Who then, if we take, we just got done talking with Michael Kopech here on the show. If you took Kopech and Eloy, and I'm just picking those two because they were here this week. So let's take those two and put them aside. If you had to pick a fast mover, a riser in that system, not necessarily a guy that is going to play September baseball and get your cup of coffee here, but a guy, you know, who makes moves next year. Do you get a feel for, you know, given people you've talked to, whether there might be a guy that's somewhat off the radar or just isn't the star power of Eloy Jimenez or Michael Kopech?
Yeah, I think most of the guys who are going to make the moves, I mean, barring a lower-level guy, you can't say, you know, like I've heard a lot of great things about Justin Yurchak, who is in this year's draft. I don't know if he's going to even be anywhere near where he even be close to the majors in 19, you know, next year.
Yeah.
But I think, so most of the guys that are going to make the moves, I think, are guys you've heard of. I know they're thrilled to have Alec Hansen where they are.
Yeah.
You know, Alec Hansen, after the, is it, I'm going to try and get these years right, after the 15 draft, right after the 15 draft, he was projected as 1-1 in 16.
Indeed.
Had a rough year at Oklahoma, dropped to the second round, and now is, I think, led the minor leagues in strikeouts this year, right? Or was 1 or 2 in strikeouts.
First, yeah.
So I think this is a guy who could move very fast. Now, again, it's a starting pitcher, so you got to make sure you got, you know, everything in order there. The White Sox have handled this great in terms of promoting the guys when it makes sense. But they also, as we've seen in the past with guys, Chris Sale, Gordon Beckham comes to mind, that when they force the issue, you know, they let them go. Now, maybe it's a little different scenario now because it's a rebuild. They're not trying to contend. So there's no rush for these guys. Just like, you know, there's no reason to – you kind of knew when Carlos was scratched Thursday night, he most likely wasn't going to pitch again in 17 because there's 3 weeks left and what's, you know, why force that out there. But I think Alec Hansen is an interesting guy to watch. And Zach Collins, for that matter, too. I heard a lot of good things about his plate discipline and just the way he developed calling the games and throwing the ball behind the plate.
Yeah, and even his offensive performance at Double A was really impressive and a welcome sight considering the contact was kind of below at Winston-Salem.
One other thing, like Buddy Bell, and talking to him recently, he said that, you know, guys like Jimenez and Collins just make teams better. Like, they made Birmingham better once they got there. And those are the kind of guys that usually make a difference in the long run.
Same type of question off the it's more than 25 at the roster right now, obviously, in September. But is there a player or two that has impressed you more than you thought they would? Is there a guy who maybe you go, other than Avi Garcia, you start to think, oh, maybe he does factor into a couple of years down the road, or maybe he is a guy that can fill out the rest of this piece or the rest of this rebuild for a year or two?
Personally, from what I've heard, you've had a great year in pre and post games.
Thank you.
I got to mention you.
We've worked very hard.
Yeah. But, I mean, Giolito is an obvious one.
Sure.
I think because of the struggles he admittedly went through. And it's interesting, when I talked to him at the beginning of this week, he talked about a mental click at some point this year where he just kind of let go of you were the number one pitching prospect. You got to do this and got to do that, and just competed and had fun. And his mechanics are better, and he's, you know, his delivery is more repeatable. You know, I think Yomer Sanchez, people I've talked to, love the way he's played third base.
Yeah.
And I think he's a great piece moving forward because he can play so many different positions. I think a healthy Tyler Saladino, who's not had a good year.
Hasn't been
obviously,
healthy either.
And he hasn't been healthy. I think he's a guy, you saw what he could do last year when he was healthy. Is he going to play every day? Maybe not, but he's a guy that can give you 250, 300 at-bats. So, you know, I think there's some interesting pieces up here already. And, you know, Juan Minaya has done a nice job in a closer's role for a team that doesn't have a lot of closing situations. And he's probably, you know, I think Juan Minaya, an interesting scenario. I think if he was healthy out of spring training, Anthony Swarzak probably never breaks camp with the team.
Interesting.
Minaya probably breaks camp as the last reliever. So I think he's a guy they also like. So, there's going to be some interesting, I don't think it's going to be the scope of the trades in this past offseason with Chris Sale and Adam Eaton.
Right.
And then eventually in season with Jose Quintana and the 3-player deal sending, you know, going to New York. But there should be some interesting decisions that have to be made during this offseason.
He's Scott Merkin, MLB.com. Always welcome here on the show. Merk, thanks so much.
Anytime, Connor.
All right, that's Scott Merkin. We're going to take a break real quick here, and when we come back, we will give kudos to the Kannapolis Intimidators. They sure deserve it. We'll tell you why next. Keep it right here. WLS AM 890. Welcome back to the last couple of minutes of White Sox Weekly this afternoon. Sox fans, for the first time ever, the Chicago White Sox are offering a limited edition cancer ribbon White Sox cap. A portion of every cap sold will aid Chicago White Sox charities and Rush University Medical Center in supporting cancer research. Caps are available at the park, at the Chicago Sports Depot, and online for a limited time. Visit your ChicagoSportsDepot.com. That's ChicagoSportsDepot.com to purchase your hat today. Boy, packed show, and in case you missed any of it, I want to encourage you to head over to the website, WLSAM.com/White Sox, and you can download all the interviews in podcast form so you can listen to them wherever and whenever you'd like. For instance, if you wanted to listen to the Michael Kopech interview on repeat for, I don't know, 7 or 8 hours, you could do it. You could do it if you wanted to. Head over to the website, download the podcast. All of our interviews are available there. Every show, all season long, right there, WLSAM.com/White Sox. Today, we talked with Michael Kopech. We talked with Lucas Giolito. We talked with Kevin Smith, White Sox catcher. And we just got done talking with Scott Merkin of MLB.com. Obviously, tough news for the White Sox yesterday in finding out that Carlos Rodon is going to be shut down for the season. And in case you missed a portion of the conversation earlier today, I can tell you this much. The first and foremost piece of business for Carlos, as he talked last night and as Ricky Renteria talked today, seems to be that they're going to figure out what's wrong first. I know a lot of you have asked, whether it be on Twitter or whether it be through the phone calls on the postgame show, when will Carlos be back and is this going to be a full spring training and, you know, can he throw 200 innings, that kind of thing. I think by and large, they got to find out answers first. He'll be reevaluated, Rodon said on Monday. Hopefully we've got more answers then. I'm sure the White Sox will talk about it some. And of course, you'll hear all that news here on White Sox Weekly. One more for you on the way home. Sox fans, you win with Papa John's Pizza all season long. The day after the Sox win, you get 50% off your entire online order of regular menu priced items only at PapaJohns.com when you use the promo code SOXWIN. It's valid at participating Papa John's locations. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. You hear the music, which means we got to run. Pre-game show starts in 10 minutes. Our thanks to Don Kleppen, our producer, and Dave Zaslowski. Thanks to our guests, too, Michael Kopech, Lucas Giolito, Kevin Smith, and Scott Merkin of MLB.com. I'm Connor McKnight. White Sox pre-game show starts in 10, so keep it right here. You've got WLSAM 890.
Been listening to White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. Listen every week for White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890, the proud home for White Sox baseball.